kind of starting to close up here, a question that we ask all our guests is, where do you see apologetics going in the future? And what do we have to work on when presenting the truth of the Christian worldview? I think people point at this like downward slope of Christianity. And I almost view that as a positive. It's almost like we're, I'm not of your guys' generation, and I kind of see it as almost a good thing. It's getting the people that were there for the potlucks kind of out of the church, and we're kind of the remnant is always talked about in Scripture. You know, the Reformed understanding of that as well. And so, this downward trend of numbers is almost inconsequential to me because of my belief in what Scripture says. And so I'm just wondering if you see it somewhat different with where apologetics is going, and make that as open or as closed a question as you'd like.
Well, let me say, first of all, that I detest predict the future questions. You're just setting yourself up for, falsification, and you have to, speculate. None of us.
Sure. What would you like to see out of the apologetic movement?
Yeah, no, that it's a perfectly fair question. Well, let me just speak to the point that you made. I think, in terms of demographics, we are seeing a decline in commitment to Christianity, whether Orthodox or even some sort of nominal Christianity in the West. And like you, I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing, because I think there's a winnowing going on. And part of this has to do with forces that are now allied against biblical Christianity, that are forcing people to nail their colors to the mast or to jump off the boat. Don't know if that metaphor works, but there is a point at which people now in the West are going to be asked the question, do you really believe this? And if you do, are you willing to bear the negative social consequences that go with that? And I don't see that as a bad thing for the Christian faith per se. It's going to be hard for Christians. It's going to be hard for a lot of people. But then there have been Christians throughout history who have experienced this. And there are Christians all over the world today who are experiencing that to a far greater degree. And in many respects, the gospel is booming there, because there is such a difference between the mainstream culture and the way what Christians believe and the way that they are living their lives. And so if the contrast between Christianity and everything else is made clearer in our culture and our society, then I think that's only going to be a good thing in terms of the clarity of the gospel and the clarity of the Christian worldview, and distinguishing it from counterfeit versions of Christianity. The downside of that, though, is that then there's more of a challenge to overcoming what some writers have called plausibility structures. That is to say, in a dominant Christian society, people are already conditioned at some level to believe that there's a God, and that we are made in the image of God, and that the Bible is God's word in some sense. And so once those plausibility structures are rejected and replaced with another plausibility structure, which is really just another way of saying worldviews, I think, once Christianity is no longer the dominant worldview, but there are other worldviews that come in and become the dominant worldview, then the apologetic task becomes more challenging, because you have less common ground to start with. But nonetheless, if we truly believe that that this is God's universe, and that human beings are made in the image of God and designed for a relationship with God, and that natural revelation speaks clearly, and that God's word in Scripture is powerful in and of itself, regardless of our weaknesses, and if the Holy Spirit is active, then we have every reason to believe that if we are being faithful in our proclamation of the gospel, if we're living it out in a way that images the character of Christ, and if we are thinking through how to give answers to the questions that people have, then this gap, this chasm of plausibility structures isn't going to be disastrous. This isn't going to be a catastrophic change. So there are pros and cons to a situation where cultural Christianity is on the decline. In terms of Christian apologetics, I think that we are perhaps in a better place today than we've ever been. I mean, Christian apologetics, regardless of, you know, the intramural debates of the methodology and so forth, there is some fantastic work being done on all fronts in Christian apologetics, and the more resources available today. So the problem is not that we don't have the tools. The problem is that we're not making good enough use of the tools. And I think the church has actually lost its nerve. And I'm generalizing, of course. But I think that many Christians have lost their nerve because of the onslaught of anti-Christian propaganda and belittling, you know, sort of intelligentsia of the day of belittling Christian faith. They're intimidated, but they shouldn't be, because I think a sober assessment of where Christian apologetics stands today gives us every reason, every confidence that we have good answers and good arguments. And of course, there are always going to be unanswered questions. There are always going to be perhaps problem areas in Christian apologetics that we continue to work on. But in terms of what we now know and resources we have available today, we're in a stronger position than we ever ever have been. So there's lots of reason to be encouraged, as well as reasons to be apprehensive about where things are going to go in the short term.
So maybe wise as serpents, gentle as doves, to quote some book.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Dr. Anderson, we greatly appreciate you coming on. We've been a fan of your work. I just love seeing what you're doing, even on Twitter, which tends to be, you know, pro or con, given the day. We were just talking today about the Book of Isaiah, and that's really encouraging to see you on. Where else can we point people to? Where would you like them to interact with you or to check out your material or resources?
Yeah. Well, don't point people to my Twitter feed. If people are getting their first impressions of me based on my Twitter feed, that would be a bad situation.
It's offhanded because you can't use your accent to
lend authority to what you have to say.
Yeah. No, to answer your question, I think the best place to go would be to my website, which you mentioned earlier. The title of it is Analogical Thoughts, but the URL is prognosco.com. But if people use their search engine to search for analogical thoughts, or just, well, maybe not James Anderson. If they Google James Anderson, then they'll get a lot of pages about an English cricketer, much more famous than I am. It's too common a name. But prognosco.com is sort of a one-stop shop for my blog, some of my published writing, some of my less formal writing, some lectures, audio, video. That'd be the place to go.
You're well respected in the community. I haven't seen one bad word ever about you. I don't know if that's more my circle or whatnot, but
when I said that you were
but when I said you were coming on, I had a lot of people say, you know, that they were Christianly jealous, I think is the proper term to use. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your time. And we appreciate you.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, and God bless you as you continue.
Thank you.